Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready, now go. Don't you devil my blue wings. Well, you can do anything, but they all for my blue wings. Knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay off my shoes. Don't you devil my blue.
Welcome once again to Dunn's Deal, and this is the place where I do the dealing, and I deal them fairly. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. Got together with family, and it went good. Relatively well. Yes, quite. So, we're back here. Oh, today is the JFK night. November 22nd is the anniversary of the solemn anniversary of his death, and we're going to take a look at the assassination. And by the way, we might get into some graphic talk here. It's a pretty gruesome thing to talk about graphically. So if you're having dinner, or if you have a weak stomach, or if you just have a great love for JFK and you don't want to hear the nitty-gritty details, because we might get to that point, then you're forewarned, okay? But anyhow, let me get into my intro. Joe Biden is not the president. Donald J. Trump is still the real president. Joe Biden is a thief in chief. He is dementia Don. He's the nuclear nut, and he is the thief in chief. And don't forget, we also have John Fetterman, who is the senator of the sanatorium. And out there in Arizona, we have a supposed person as governor. Her name is Katie the Coward Hobbs, who wouldn't dare talk face to face to the true governor there, Carrie Lake. So, like I said, tonight we're going to be dealing with stuff about JFK's assassination. And I do believe I've got somebody that's going to be calling in about... he's going to be calling in to try to convince me that there was... that Lee Harvey Oswald was the single killer, which he might have been, the single shooter. So we'll hear from him. But also, I want to put out the phone number, because I did not advertise, but I put out information on Twitter and Brighty on social. So if anyone's listening from, well, out of state, it would be 1-800-949-9674. In state, it would be 766-1380 and 769-0600. So, I did make a deal with another Jim Williams, and he's going to tell me the real story. So, hopefully this is him here. Go ahead, caller. Is this Jim?
Yeah, it certainly is, Jim. It's good to hear you had a great Thanksgiving.
Good. Thank you. Did you?
That duck I tried to cook... was kind of a bomb, but I did have turkey and stuffy Thanksgiving, so yeah, I came out good.
Okay.
So, let's rock and roll.
There is only one shooter, okay. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, first off, I'm going to ask you, I tagged you in a post that I put on my Facebook timeline a day ago that shows, it was a link that I made that shows an enhanced copy of the Zapruder film, and I'll tell you how I got that in a moment.
Okay.
And I put synchronized gunshots in there. Did you see that motion picture yet?
I haven't seen the motion picture. I saw the Zapruder film, and from what I saw of it, there's no doubt to me that there was more than one angle of the shooting. So there had to have been more than one shooter.
Nope. Only one.
Okay, first so off, you're on Facebook, right?
Right now I am, right. And what I'm going to do, I can't show this to the listening audience, obviously, but
right.
I'm going to play.
I'm trying to find
the gunshot. I'm going to play the gunshot spacing, and I hope it comes out all right on the radio and my phone. Of what if you were at Dealey Plaza, Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963, at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? This is what you would have heard. And I'm hoping this comes out, but the gunshot sounds are 100% accurate. You ready?
Give it a try.
All right. Here we go. 4, 3, 2, 1, start. Okay. Now, this is a recreation, folks. It's not the actual sound. Okay, how'd that come out?
That came out pretty good. Can you play that one more time? Hang on
sure,
for a second.
Sure, absolutely.
Because it's supposed
absolutely.
No, yep, did you slow that down?
No, this was full. This was real speed. The
okay,
second part
it's,
of the
it's supposed to be five. It's supposed to be 5.6 seconds on the shots.
Okay,
but
well,
if it's
you.
The actual film, I suppose it'd be accurate.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, go.
Okay, so it went from 12 seconds to 18 seconds, so
yeah,
that would be...
From the first shot, I got about six seconds.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
6 seconds, just like what Josiah Thompson wrote in his book, 6 seconds in Dallas. These, if you were on that plaza that day, that's what you would have heard, okay, the spacing. Some people say, oh, well, I heard shots coming from the grassy knoll and, and there's shooters everywhere.
Well...
But no, what they were hearing was acoustics. Okay, Dealey Plaza is very acoustic, and depending on where you were in the plaza, you may have been hearing echoes. Now, another
that's
thing, too,
possible, but most of the people that were eyewitnesses said that they heard the shots coming from the grassy knoll area.
It could have been
the acoustics bouncing off the wall, but...
That's exactly what it was. And also, I'm going to explain, there was not just two people who were victims of this. There were three.
Who was the third?
I'm going to tell you the third one.
Name all three of them.
Okay. Well, you know the first two, the second two, that was John Connolly and John Fitzgerald Kennedy, right? Those were the second two.
The first two.
But the first one, Yes, you will know the second two actually, because the first guy was hit, and I'll explain. That was the first shot. That was the one that was a swing and a miss. Oswald shot, missed Kennedy and Connolly, and missed the limousine altogether. That bullet transversed all the way down the end of Dealey Plaza and ricocheted off a curb, and that was near a manhole cover. And that manhole, and that gouge, there's plenty of pictures of it, you can see it for yourself. Now, the man's name was James Tague. He was standing almost underneath the railroad overpass on the Commerce Street side of the plaza. He hears the shot, and all of a sudden he feels this sting in his face, like a bee stung him. So he instinctively put his hand up to his cheek, and he takes it off and looks at his hand, and he's got blood on it.
Right.
He's like, what in the world going on? And he had a nick in his face from the ricochet from that bullet, maybe shrapnel from the bullet in the concrete. But that was where the first shot went. Second shot, if you watch the motion picture, and I really encourage you to watch this, Jim, because
What motion picture is it? What's the name of it?
The Zapruder film.
I have. Okay, it's not a motion picture.
But,
it's the Zapruder film.
You can still call it a motion picture, even though it was 8mm film at the time.
There's a big difference. Motion picture is highly produced. The Zapruder film is just pure. It would be called primary evidence. I'm just thinking from a historical point of view. This would be your primary source.
Right. Well, you're right. It was done from an amateur, but I tell you, Zapruder did a pretty good job, especially when he was filming Anyway, if you watch, okay, you'll see the first shot was a miss because you could see two things. One, in the background, there was a girl that was running, that was trying to keep up with the limousine. She was on the other side of the plaza on Commerce Street trying to run to keep up with the limousine.
Yeah.
But when the first shot goes off, she stops dead in her tracks and looks behind her, not towards the grassy knoll, not towards some sewer, not towards the Dow Tech building, but the Texas School Book Depository. She stopped dead in the tracks. And the other reaction you will see is John Connolly himself. And he testified to this. When he heard the first shot, he recognized what gunshot sounded like. He started to look to his right, and then he started turning to his left. That, at that point, Kennedy and Connolly were obscured by the Stemmons Freeway road sign. Okay?
Right.
Now, conspiracy theories say, oh, well, Kennedy was hit while he was obscured, and Connolly was hit by a second bullet as they came out. No.
That one I've never heard.
Well, no. They were both hit by the same bullet, because the minute Kennedy was emerged from the Stemmons Freeway sign, the very first frame, he looks normal. But the next frame, he reacts violently, and so does Connolly, meaning they were hit by the same bullet. Spector was right. He was correct.
I've never seen Connolly. I've looked at JFK. Now, supposedly he got shot through the shoulder, then the neck. When he gets hit in the neck, he puts both hands up to his neck. Now, yeah, they're not open to close. I don't know why fists up to your neck.
There's two things that happened here. Both of them were neurological reactions. What you're describing with the hands, I think it's called the Thorburn position, where you have like a spinal injury and your arms like splay up like his. He wasn't clutching his neck, but that was an involuntary movement for him. Now,
involuntary movement for what?
Yeah, for getting hit in the back, and it went out underneath the Adam's apple. Now, the interesting thing
Adam's apple, so it went through his neck, yeah.
Yeah,
and then he had the reaction with the closed fists up to Adam's apple. Yeah.
Right. And the bullet, which is lately called the magic bullet, that exited Kennedy's throat, and it hit Governor Connolly in the back.
Yep.
Again, striking no bone.
Uh-huh.
Came out of his chest under his right nipple, transverse through his wrist without breaking any bone.
Yeah.
And lodged in his thigh.
Okay.
Now, lodge is an interesting word because they found a bullet on the stretcher at Parkland. That was the stretcher that Connolly was on. So when they rushed Connolly off out of the limousine to put him in the hospital, that lodge bullet fell out. And that's where this conspiracy theory started. Oh, well, Jack Ruby was there. He planted that bullet, blah, blah. No, no, no. It was lodged in Kennedy, in Connolly's thigh.
Okay. Now, I heard that there was a bullet that was in Kennedy that fell out on his gurney as well.
No. The bullets they dragged out of Kennedy.
Okay, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, with the last shot, John Kennedy's head blows off. It goes in the front, and you can see his forehead, his scalp, just explodes. And then there's the point where Jackie climbs onto the back of the trunk to grab whatever it was that flew there, whether it was his scalp or a piece of his hair or whatever.
I still get like ugh, whenever I see that scene.
Well, that's why I warned people that this is going to get graphic tonight.
If you have the stomach enough to watch it, watch the slow motion version of this enhanced Zapruder film. They zeroed in on Kennedy and Connolly in slow motion. So you could see clearly that Kennedy and Connolly were hit by the same shot. And Kennedy was hit
but this is the kill shot. He might have survived getting shot, through the throat, in the back.
But the kill shot
looks like it comes from the front. In fact, I'm pretty convinced that it did come from the front, proving that there is at least a second shooter.
Okay, well, I'm going to do my best to disprove that.
Go ahead.
Okay.
How did it happen?
Well, Kennedy was shot in the head, obviously. And if you noticed in this enhanced version, and it's pretty graphic, you will see not the back of Kennedy's head blow off, but a good chunk of his side of his head blown off. Okay? He lost like a lot of skull and dura mater and all that other stuff. And they even found a piece of his head in the street. That's where the graphic part comes in, folks. So I hope you're not eating lunch right now. But
I warned everyone.
Too.
I told him if you're eating dinner or if you're a real John Kennedy lover and you don't want to hear this graphic stuff, this is going to be real hard for you.
It's going to get more interesting, too, because...
I warned everyone. I told him if you're eating dinner or if you're a real John Kennedy lover and you don't want to hear this graphic stuff, this is going to be real hard for you.
It's going to get more interesting, too, because there's the backwards and to the left, okay? You ever heard of that? Why did Kennedy's head go backwards and to the left? Easily explained. When Kennedy was hit in the head, he suffered a significant brain injury, and that just... Yeah. Pretty much froze up his nervous system. That's why he, because when I took frame 312 and 313 and digitized them on, and then from 314, for that 18th of a second, Kennedy's head did go forward. You can see it. Not by much, but it went forward.
Okay, I've got it on right now.
Okay.
They're about to go past the sign. Nope. There's a shot to the head. There's a puff of smoke. That's in the front of his face, and his head goes.
Are you watching the one that I put up with the sprocket holes that are still showing? Because when they enhance this, they put the images because the camera actually exposes that, so they made it kind of a wider view. Is that the one you're looking at right now?
Wait a minute. Here we have it. Ruder film slow motion, high quality. Let's go with that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's the one with the gunshots, right?
I don't know if this is the slow motion one. Okay, wait a minute.
Well,
that one's 3 minutes long, and I'm already 22 minutes into the show.
Okay, well, anyway, you got to see what I posted. Okay, go to my timeline when you get home, and you'll see I said, talk to you on Friday, watch this video, and you'll be the judge, the answer versus the Spooner film. Now, the reason why I found this film is they made a documentary back in the late 90s. It was called Image of an Assassination. Now, what these people did, they did something that no other researcher has done. And I've been researching Kennedy's assassination for half a decade now. No, half a century, I should say. I'm an old man, yes. They took the original Zapruder film out of the National Archives, not some fourth or fifth generation poor quality crap that we've been fed all these years, but they took the original Zapruder film with the permission of the National Archives. They laid out every frame, and they photographed and digitized each and every frame. That's painstaking enough. But what they also did was they tried to stabilize it, so it looks more fluid, and they did two versions. They did the real-time version, and then the second half.
No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a slow version of it, and he's leaning forward before he gets shot in the head. And before you can see the explosion of his forehead.
Good point that you made there, because you left out another factor.
What's that?
Marianne Munchmore and Gene Hill, they were standing across the street from Abraham Zapruder. Munchmore, she had a Polaroid, and she wanted to take a picture of Kennedy for her son who couldn't attend because he was going to school.
Okay.
Now, she and Gene Hill were saying, "Mr. President, turn our way," because she wanted to give him a shot. But what she did is she got a picture that was etched in history. Even Munchmore said that on a documentary I saw her. She snapped that image exactly at the same time that the third shot rang out. Kennedy was already hit in the head. If you watch, and I'm sure you must have seen this, where Kennedy was leaning to the left, and Jackie was next to him, and she was kind of leaning to the left, too.
Because she's reaching out to him.
What was happening here, she was reaching out to him.
Yeah, she's reaching to him right now. And his shoulder.
Right. But the
and
first
then he gets,
reaction...
And his brains get blown out, and the shot comes from the front.
It'll get shot up. Oh, boy, we're having a great conversation. Right after Thanksgiving, too. Thank you very much.
People have been warned, three times now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, what I see it as is Kennedy, the side of Kennedy's head got shot out, not the back of his head. And if you looked at the Munchmore Polaroid, Kennedy was leaning to the left. So he wasn't shot backwards into the left from a shooter from the grass. No, he got shot when he got shot in the back of the head. That caused an instant neurological reaction that snapped him up. And leaning to the left, gravity took hold because he went from a living being to an inanimate object. You don't have any control after that. So that's where the backwards into the left came from. It was just basic what happened. Like when Kennedy reached up and...
Except I'm seeing the evidence of some kind of explosion in front of his face. His head goes back, and after that, Jackie goes onto the trunk to get something. She's not getting the Secret Service guy. She's not helping him up. She's going back there to grab something.
Yeah, well, you know what happened?
The top of his head.
Well, that's what Jackie said. She was actually trying to reach for some skull and brain matter that landed on the trunk. But you got to remember, too, okay, even though he was shot from behind, but the limit beam was still going forward. So
very, very slowly. Because that was one of the problems of the way this whole thing was set up. They went around a very sharp curve that they had to slow down almost like the 5 or 10 miles an hour. And it's a parade route. You've got people crowded all around. They can't go fast.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know what? I'm still convinced it was from the front, because not only did Kennedy's head, this conversation didn't be really weird. Not only did the matter shoot out in the front of his head, but it also went upwards. If you look at frame 313, okay, that's the exact headshot. That's the gory shot. You will see a streak going upwards, not from behind, but from the front, of a piece of bone from Kennedy's head. Okay? Like I said, Jim, I've been doing this for almost half a century.
I believe it. Yep. I've got frame 220 right now. 315,
yeah,
you said?
Yeah, frame 313. That's where you're not going to see his head. That's where you're going to see a mess.
Yeah, it's the front. But that just gives more credence to somebody shooting from the front, not Oswald shooting from the back from six floors up. And besides, I mean, I've read one piece where Oswald was not a good marksman. And
if you took a look at
the gun, I mean, the gun was a bolt action. You had to pull the bolt up, back, forward, down, then fire the shot. Now, the first shot, you've got it cocked, ready to go. Second shot, up, back, forward, down, re-aim, find your target again, then fire. Then for the third shot, you've got to pull it up, back, in, down, and find the target for a third time.
Well, you got to remember that Oswald did take marksmanship training in the
United States
Marines.
That doesn't mean you're a good marksman.
Yeah, and that's the rifle they were using at the time. So he knew how to work that bolt. Okay,
there's a possibility, but there's also a possibility that he was not a good marksman, and that he's the patsy for the whole thing. And
I've
got a ton of other information that needs to be looked at. I mean, it might be circumstantial, but it is so heavily circumstantial.
Okay, well, you know what? Because there's so much more I could talk about, but I don't want to take up the rest of your show. So maybe we can bring it up again next week for maybe 10, 15 minutes. But there's some other convincing evidence. Okay, you had three gentlemen, okay, African-American gentlemen, James Jarman, Bonnie Ray Williams, and who was the third one? Anyway, Jarman was upstairs in the sixth floor, okay?
Yes.
He was eating his lunch, okay? And he forgot, he left his bag up there. It was fried chicken, right? And he didn't see anybody up on the sixth floor, so he went down to the fifth floor and he met up with his coworkers, and they watched the limousine pass, but they were directly under the sixth floor window. And they heard these shots going from overhead. As a matter of fact, it shook the floor so much that I think it was Jarman who had this on his head. Bonnie Ray Williams said, "Hey, you got something on your head." There was a light dusting of a white powder from the ceiling. And they even testified they heard the casings falling on the floor. And I believe that. Because those floors, you know, they were all wooden floors, you know what I mean? So that tells me they put somebody up on that sixth floor. Okay, just those three people alone. And yet one guy...
Okay, wait, then how come Oswald didn't run? How come he was found eating his lunch down on the second floor after the shots were fired? Kennedy was already hit and was all over and done with.
Simple, he knew the way out of the building. I mean, he was already familiar with it. And they've already reenacted that several times. Oswald did have enough time. And by the way, Officer Baker, when he found Oswald on the second floor, Oswald had a bottle of Coke in his hand.
Yeah.
And that's when him and Roy Truly, Baker had his gun pointed at Oswald and asked, do you know this guy? Yeah, he works here. Okay. So Oswald, he wasn't stupid. He wasn't going to run out of there like a maniac. Okay. He didn't want to put attention on himself. So, but he knew he knew the layout. So, and the way it was...
You just killed the president, and you can be so cool, calm, and collected that you sit there without sweating, without looking nervous, without...
Yeah, that was Oswald.
Okay.
That's Oswald.
We have to wrap it up at that.
Okay, yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because I got so much more. Maybe we'll pick it up on...
I'm sure you do. I mean, and this is going to become a project for me for quite a few years as well. Because there's so much. I can't spend the whole hour just on this.
I am not
convinced. According to the film, I see a shot coming from the front. Or at least the sides, which would prove
that
another shooter.
If I was Oswald, I'd want you on my jury, okay? But I do recommend watching
this. Don't have to worry about that. Jack Ruby took him out.
Yeah, that's another thing we'll talk about later on.
I've got a lot of things. I got a lot of things I got to get to, so we have to end this because there's a ton of information I need to cram in there.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you later. We'll continue on with this. I'll talk to you later, Jim.
Okay, thanks for the call, though. That was quite informative.
Yeah, you have yourself a great weekend.
Okay, take care, man. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
In the year 35, ain't gonna tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today.
Here's author James Dunn to talk about his soon-to-be-printed next book.
The King Philip's War in New England in 1675 defined the relations, for good or bad, between English settlers and Native Americans for centuries to come. Many of the battles are local to the Blackstone Providence area with long-forgotten memorials and grave sites. Smithfield was the Battle of Nipsichuck. The Battle of Sudbury in Sudbury, Mass. Was a turning point. Mount Hope in Bristol, Rhode Island was the home of King Philip and the Wampanoag tribe. The Connecticut River Valley was a scene of many bloody encounters between the English and the Nipmuc tribe. South Kingston, Rhode Island saw the Great Swamp Battle / Massacre. One Englishman stands out in this brutal conflict. He dared to learn to fight like the Indians did and won the war for the English. He was Captain Benjamin Church in the book, Captain Benjamin Church and the King Philip's War.
It's true. It's true. The Crown has made it clear. The climate must be perfect. All the earth. A law was made a distant moon ago here. July and August cannot be too hot. And there's a legal limit to the...
the snow here in Camelot. The winter is forbidden till December, and exits March the 2nd on the dot. By order, summer lingers through September in Camelot. Camelot, I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but in Camelot, Camelot, that's how conditions are. The rain may never fall till after sundown. By 8, the morning fog must disappear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot.